it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, places, please. The Daily Mix Show is on deck. Guitars plugged in. Drums ready to go. Chickens.
They're a clucking.
Other animals. And action.
This is the Daily Mix Show on The Rock with Taryn Daly and Steve Miggs.
While listening to the Daily Mix Show, please refrain from any unnecessary finger gesturing.
99.9 KISW.
Good morning, Rockaholics. Happy Thirsty Thursday. Steve Miggs, you and I know one of the first things we tend to do when we get here is we check the text.
We yell at each other.
Yeah, we yell at each other.
Yes.
And then we check the text.
Yes.
And there's always a lot of texts that come through overnight or texts that come in that were, you know, intended for the men's room.
Yeah.
I've just noticed something over the last, like, maybe 2 weeks that there's at least one person out there that's kind of thirsty for Miles.
Oh, I noticed that, too. That was the first thing I saw.
Yeah. So there's been one text says something about thinking he's adorable.
Oh.
There was another person that said, I've had a crush on Miles for, you know, this long. And then there was even a dude that slid into the text line that was saying, my mom has the hots for Miles. I'm wondering if it's the same mom.
You know what it is? Is now that they're YouTube stars. So now you can see them on YouTube. They do their show on YouTube. So now you can visually see how sexy Miles Montgomery is.
He is just putting it down out there.
I see. I thought you were going to read the one text that I saw. The first thing I saw when I opened up the text line, it says, Miles, you pleasurize the monkey, clearly.
What?
That's what it says.
All right.
That's so Miles.
I mean, that's what we all knew that about Miles.
We all knew that. He pleasurizes the monkey.
But I also saw that. I think Miles is adorable.
We'll pass that along. Look at us. Matchmaking at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Who would have known? So coming soon, we're going to have a full-size Miles Montgomery poster for people to put up in their bedroom.
It's not where
walls.
I thought you were going with that. Thought you were going to say we're going to have some kind of doll.
Oh, well, you know, that's available at the Rock Shop right now.
Time for the Daily Mix download.
Wow.
Knowledge is power. So give us five-ish minutes, and we'll give you some interesting stuff you can talk about at work. This is the Daily Mix download.
A.K.A. the DMD.
Here's your daily dose of doings happening in the world.
And the DMD is brought to you by Palace Lawn. Look at that. I was just going online, and apparently today, Jimmy John just announced there's a new Miles Montgomery footlong that they're serving.
Oh, no.
Available for just people here in the Pacific Northwest.
Yes. Yes. Mayo on that.
Yes. Thing. Pleasurize that footlong.
Thank God.
What is happening?
I don't know.
Well, today it's also National Beer and Pizza Day. I mean, it's not just national. It's international. So your friends in Germany, your friends in Russia, your friends in Italy, all enjoying pizza and beer today.
I celebrated a day early. I had pizza and beer yesterday.
We had pizza here at work. What was that? Where was that place?
Did Rocco's in Belltown. I've been there before.
Oh, my gosh. That pizza was amazing.
So, you know, and you know what, Steve? I ate the vegetarian one that had the balsamic drizzle on it. That was the best, one of the best slices of pizza I've ever had.
I ate that in the parking garage. I almost got back out of my car, walked back up here, and got another slice because it was so freaking good.
The greatest part was that Steve was like, I'm going to grab a slice of pizza and run to the gym. And, like, you were not kidding. You grabbed a slice of pizza.
I did.
I was looking for you to talk to you about it because I was like, pizza gets me excited. It's
yeah.
Steve.
Oh, he's gone.
And he was gone. I was like, where did he go?
We had a big meeting at work. And, like, everyone has meetings. They decided to give us lunch. I took that pizza, put it on my plate, took another plate, covered it up, and I'm like, I'm out of here.
Deuces.
Yeah. This meeting went too long.
Oh.
I need to eat my pizza in privacy. And that's exactly what I did. Well, Danny, pizza was really good.
Yeah, it was.
Yesterday. Also, I wanted to get out of here so I could watch the Mariners.
You should have skipped that.
Yeah. Dude, what the hell happened? I know we'll talk to Gary Hill Jr. today at 9 o'clock, and I think the only question I have for him is, Gary, what the F? I think, you know, I need to quote your son, Barrett, and just go,
what the F?
Because they were up 3-0, and you think with this team and with their bullpen and with the way that they've been playing, we got this. And maybe that was the problem. Maybe we kind of, like, you know, put our foot off the gas a little bit. And then The Detroit Tigers remembered how to hit. The Mariners forgot how to pitch. The Tigers remembered how to hit. Scored 9 unanswered runs. It just kept getting worse and worse and worse. And I was like listening to Gary Hill Jr. do the call. And he's even just like, it's 4-3. There's still time and there's still hope. And the next thing you know, it just continued to get worse and worse and worse. And the Mariners ended up losing 9-3 to the Tigers. So now it's winner take all. Tomorrow at T-Mobile Park, 1-and-done. Mariners, back at it.
We'll do it the hard way. That's fine.
And you got that Scooble guy who I know we've beaten a bunch of times, but, at some point you get nervous. Here we are acting like typical beaten down Mariners fans. We already think the season is done, but there's plenty of hope. I saw some of the players were being interviewed, and it seemed like their spirits were fine.
Confidence is key.
Yeah.
The winner tomorrow will be facing off against the Toronto Blue Jays in the ALCS. The Blue Jays beat the Yankees in game 4, 5-2. The Tigers were also not the only team that fought off elimination yesterday because the Cubs beat the Brewers and the Phillies defeated the Dodgers in LA. The Phillies and Dodgers will go at it again tonight, as do the Brewers and the Cubs.
Okay, so baseball continues.
It does. There's so much baseball. The most baseball.
There's also a football going on tonight. You've got Thursday night football, The New York Giants taking on the Philadelphia Eagles. So maybe New York fans will have something to cheer about. Probably not. But, that's what's going on tonight. You can watch that on Amazon at 5:15. And also, most importantly, we have something to think about with Seattle sports. There's nothing to do with the Mariners or the Seahawks. And that's your Seattle Kraken. They're back on the ice. The season starts tonight at Climate Pledge Arena. Are you guys excited?
So excited.
All right. We're going to the game.
We're going to get the Oysters. Because they've got oysters now at Climate Pledge Arena during the games.
So we're going to go there just to eat the oysters?
Just eat the oysters.
Sure, why not? Hey, they're taking on the Anaheim Ducks, so hopefully we start the season off right. Give us something to be excited about tonight, Kraken. So that'll be a lot of fun to check out. As far as weather, hitting a high of 60 degrees, the DMD is brought to you by Snoqualmie Casino and Hotel. And that's what's up, and go Kraken.
The Mariners. Daily Migs Show.
Rockaholics, on Saturday morning, we just got a couple new team members. The Making Strides Against Breast Cancer Walk is happening down on Pier 62 here in Seattle. Rain or shine, we're going to lace up the sneakers and do some good. You can join our team at KISW.com. And while you're there, make a donation to support the American Cancer Society. Where does the time go, Steve Miggs? All of a sudden, the Kraken season is here.
It's insane. It's coming. And I'm like, oh crap, they play tonight at Climate Pledge Arena. I'm kind of kicking myself that I didn't make an attempt to get tickets.
There's still time, right?
I know. This has been the longest week of my entire life. I just feel like we've been perpetually in Wednesday.
Yeah, I feel like Seattle sports have shaved a few years off of our lives. Tonight, they're at home versus the Anaheim Ducks.
I can't deal with much more sports heartbreak, not at least until tomorrow.
Well, one of the highlights leading up to the start of the Kraken season was being invited to the Kraken Media Day, where we got to check out some of the new food items that they're going to be offering at Climate Pledge Arena. We love food, so we'll show up for that for sure.
And I am a sucker for food at sporting events. I always have to get my pretzel, but then it's always like, well, what am I going to actually, what's going to be my meal? And they've got some great options this year.
Well, before we even started eating the food,
what, Danny?
You beelined it for Allison Lucan so we could talk to her about the team.
Well, because I think she does a phenomenal job as one of their analysts on the Kraken Hockey Network. So when I saw that she was there and nobody was bugging her, I'm like, well, Taryn, let's go bug her.
Yes.
Well, one thing that we're really excited about, Allison, is they just launched the new glow-in-the-dark jerseys. Has the response been off the chain? What are the original sales like?
Yeah, that's not my department. They keep me away from the important business decisions. But
I think at that point she's like, wait, because there was also part of us talking a little bit about food with her as well. She's like, I thought you guys wanted to talk about the team, not their fashion and their food.
Fashion and food.
From everything I've seen, I hear the response has just been amazing, and I think they're so cool.
Great.
I love that it kind of hails back to the tradition, right, but brings in a new wrinkle. And glow in the dark, I just can't wait to see that arena go dark and to see those elements take off.
And Alice, I got to ask you just about the team this upcoming season. It just seems like there's been a couple of new changes, a younger vibe to the team, a new coach. What's your overall feeling for what we're going to see with the Kraken when they're on the ice?
Yeah, for sure. I got to spend some time with Coach Lane Lambert. What they're really most excited about with him at the helm is going to be structure and discipline. He wants the team to know where each other is on the ice so that they can fulfill their roles and then be creative when the time comes.
Yeah.
Then you look look at bringing in pieces like Mason Marchment, a player I love, some sandpaper, but some offensive skill drives to the net. And then on the other end of the ice, you have Ryan Lindgren, a defender who protects the front of the net. Matt Murray goaltending as well. I think we're going to see a healthy Vince Dunn. You remember he had some challenges at the start of last year. A healthy Jordan Eberle, right? I talked with
him. You need the captain out there,
You need him. You need him out there. You need him in the room. And I talked with him. He says he feels great. He had a great summer training. And people may not have remembered how good he was before he got injured. So a big part of this team, we're going to see how they're going to play a little bit more dynamic maybe. Where's the offense going to come from? How does Mason March when those pieces fit in? It's going to be awesome. Matt Murray, I used to cover a team in the Metro Division. That's where he really got his honor and his rings and his cups. So to see him come back from a really insane, intense surgery, both hips at the same time, he says he feels great. He says he feels athletic. And it's going to be fun because I think when you look at goalies and who's going to be playing and not, and you probably know this as a goalie nerd, having wrinkles in the way different guys play can be a little bit of a curveball for opponents. So do they leverage that? We'll see.
So how do you really, like, feel about the way that the experts are talking about our team right now, Steve Miggs?
Because
I'm reading some of this stuff.
No.
Again, we're talking about this week has already been pretty crushing if you're a Seattle sports fan.
But it's nice to see we had Allison who gave us a little optimism. New coach with Lane Lambert. You know, from what I've heard, though, like, he's real hands-on during all the practices. Like, there's been a lot of good feedback about him as their head coach and some good young players. But in the eyes of the people outside of Pacific Northwest, not so hot.
We'll keep our rose-colored glasses on while The Athletic is giving us only a 16% chance of making the playoffs and projecting about 76 points for their season. That's 29th in the league. And what are there, 32 teams in the league?
Wait, so how? What kind of a percent of chance?
16.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Yeah! Let's go Kraken.
Yeah, they're saying right now, not enough to crack into postseason play.
Okay, good. Well, you know, we do need like a big star player, I feel like. Although, you know, if the team doesn't do well, at least we'll look good. Like you mentioned, the jerseys. Have you seen the matte black? I love how we just moved on from their performance.
Back to fashion.
We're straight up. Like, they're at least going to look good when they suck. The matte black helmets that they're going to wear with those the glow-in-the-dark jerseys look amazing.
I would love to lose wearing those, you know?
Yeah, if you're going to lose, at least look good while losing.
They are saying there's a lot of hope for Matty Beniers having, like, maybe a career-high season, though, so that's very exciting.
And he was just announced that he's one of the alternate captains I saw, so that's pretty cool.
Oh, well, you know. Let's just do what we do here in Seattle, and that's hope and pray.
Damn, you fired up. We're so Seattle. It's just like, man, at least they had fun. Yeah. It was a good run. Yeah. They haven't played a game yet. Yeah, but it was a good run.
The Daily Mix Show.
Rolling Stone has come out with another list. And this list is what they are considering to be the 250 best songs of the century so far.
Oh, good. You know they're going to make everybody happy with this list.
I'm sure we're all going to agree with what they picked as the greatest. And we're going to find out what song that is after Foo Fighters.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
As the first quarter of the 21st century nears its closing, Rolling Stone decided to put out a list of the 250 best songs we've had in the 21st century so far.
They do this mainly to get people to argue, go to their website, get a bunch of clicks. They are, like, I think, like the forefather of the clickbait, rage bait world that we're in right now. I think it's all their fault, Rolling Stone.
Yeah. Angry comments, arguments, all of that, Rolling Stone's fault.
So that being said, I have the top five, and I want to see if you guys agree with any of these.
I'm just so curious if any of them are even rock songs. I'm guessing no.
Maybe.
Okay.
Quite possibly. How many do you think you'll agree with that deserve to be a top five song of the century?
One.
Zero. One. Danny, you think zero?
Zero.
Okay. Are you ready for number five?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
This is, they consider to be the number, what is it? So the number five greatest song of the 21st century. I think you'll like this one.
What is this?
All right. Number one. This actually is my number one of this year.
of this year?
Yeah, I don't
this
know
this came
why.
Out this year?
No, this came out back in 2012.
No, I know. That's the crazy part, is I just discovered it this year.
But in all fairness, this is Taylor's version, which maybe came out a little bit after that. It's fair.
Wait, what is this song?
It's All Too Well.
All Too Well.
Some would argue that this is Taylor Swift's greatest song, and apparently Rolling Stone would agree with that. I think, unless she's writing a song about Travis Kelce's wiener, it's not a good song.
Wow.
I'm kidding. I like that song. I wouldn't put it in my top five of the century.
Wow. I don't know. That one, I kind of agree with that one,
and
guys.
I'm worried that the rest of these songs are all Taylor Swift songs, too.
No, that's the only Taylor Swift song. This one, I have a feeling that we might all agree on, that it does deserve to at least be recognized as a great song of this century. Don't want
to hear about it. Oh, yes.
Okay.
I don't know about top five, but he's definitely in the list somewhere.
I'd rather listen to this than Taylor Swift,
so
I'd put it ahead of that.
Okay, now you're just speaking blasphemy.
I would rather listen to this on repeat for the rest of my life than listen to Taylor Swift.
Oh, come on.
But they're from Detroit, so I don't want to listen to them right now.
We're fighting.
White Stripes, Seven Nation Army came in at number four. Okay, number three, I would say, is maybe a top three music video for me. Hmm. But
is
I don't know.
Sexy?
There's a hot lady in it, probably. Such a funny thing for me to try to
explain. Do you remember this video?
No.
It's Beyonce in like really short shorts, just like doing sexy things.
I can't with Beyonce though.
No?
I was always a Destiny's Child
okay,
girl.
Okay, I'm good.
Just watch it on mute, Steve.
That's Crazy in Love features Jay-Z as well. We didn't get to the part where he's in his sexy short shorts, but it does happen. All right, number two, I'm going to say yes, it deserves to be. I don't know if you guys are going to rock with this one. It is a rock band. I think some people will be like, Steve, your music taste sucks for this, but I've always loved this song. It's always hit me in a great way.
Yeah. I love this song.
Again, I don't know if number five or like in the top five, but it's a good song.
Whenever I hear this song, I'm like, gosh, man. I don't know what it would be like to be in a band where you write a song so great like this, but you can never follow it up. Like, yeah. And not because their other music sucks. It's just, how do you write a better song than this?
It's a great song. Karen O, is that her?
Yeah. Yeah. I remember seeing them at the Showbox, and they were amazing live. So this is the number two song of the century, though. I thought that was kind of crazy.
That's a bold statement.
Do they have other songs?
No. All right, number one, another female-fronted artist.
Ooh, nice.
Are you ready for this one?
Yes.
Mississippi, putting it down. Oh. I'm the hottest round.
I
told you,
y'all can stop me now. Listen to me now. I love the song when this came out.
I'll give it a nod because of the music video. The music video is so trippy. It's so good.
I've never liked this song. Even when they use it in like 40-Year-Old Virgin, because that's how I knew the song.
Yeah.
It was just like, I don't know. It just never hit me the right way.
2001, Get Your Freak On, Missy Elliott is considered to be the greatest song of the 21st century
wow.
so far. I do not agree with that. I don't hate the song, but I wouldn't put that one at number one. Some of the other ones that are in the top 10, I don't know, Dancing On My Own by Robin.
Oh, yeah. She's got the short blonde. Yeah. It's fine.
She almost started singing it.
She thought better of it.
Why should I say it? You'd be like, oh, yeah, that one.
She's going to be like, these guys are going to crucify me if I try and sing that one. All Right by Kendrick Lamar. Then Radiohead in the top 10.
Which one?
Idiotech.
Oh.
Then Toxic from Britney Spears. And then Frank Ocean's Thinking About You.
What were the like specifications of this list?
Like, what would piss off rock fans?
It's so weird. Like, it's like Toxic by Britney Spears.
I'm looking at some, like, The Strokes were in the top 15. I mean, I'm trying to, like, find other rock artists that were even in there. And that's it.
Wow.
Everything else is rap or pop. Thankfully, though, I have to give a nice nod to Rolling Stone. I don't see any country songs in the top 20.
This is a victory.
We'll take the little victories.
The Daily Mix Show. The Daily Mix Show.
Taylor Swift was once a country artist. So there you go.
How would you like to beat Steve Miggs? He has 318 wins so far this year, 104 losses so far this year, and 90 ties so far this year. 206-803-ROCK. We're going to play Beat Miggs at 6:50.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.